Oh, what a fine young man. That's what the girl's mother and daddy asked her. She said, I'm going with Floyd Jones. They said, what's he do for a living? What's his daddy do? Who gives a fig what I did for a living and what my daddy did? The question should have been, does he know, believe in, and love the Lord Jesus Christ? Honey, if he doesn't, he's trying to head for the bed with you. I wish you guys had some preachers that would talk to you. You know why we meet on neutral grounds? I couldn't get by talking this frank with you in a church behind a pulpit. The deacons would run me off the next day. But I want to tell you something. None of you paid for this room. I do. If anyone leaves, it's you. And when you come in here, I'm going to tell it like it is. Now, notice what God did. Verse 7. So now we understand what God meant when he said what they've imagined to do. Come, let us go down. Confound their language. That's the word Babel. That they may not understand one another's speech. Kind of hard. Hey, do you understand? See, I'm trying to proselyte you into the cult and get you over here on old Nimrod's side. He's a mighty hunter of men's souls. Before the Lord. Nimrod is before the Lord Jehovah. Now, it's going to be awfully hard for me to proselyte you and convert you to the religion of Nimrod on the plains of Shinar if I can't understand your language. I've lost my big missionary pitch. We don't speak the same. God confounded their languages. So the Lord scattered them abroad. See, God told them in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, to scatter abroad. They said in verse 4, we won't scatter abroad. What do you know? God won after all. You know why? They didn't trust each other anymore. There was something different. Just that language barrier says, I don't like you. I don't trust you. I wouldn't marry you. I wouldn't let my daughter marry you. That's all it takes. Just the day before, they were working and worshiping together. There's no room for prejudice in the family of God.
Amen.
What do you know? God got his way after all. The Lord did scatter them. Have any of you, don't raise your hand, ever fought God? You know, God wants you to do something or didn't want you to do something, and you fought him about it? And you may have thought you were winning for a while, and lo and behold, if you didn't end up doing exactly what God wanted you to do when it was all over with, it might have taken 5-10 years, but dead got you, you just knew you weren't going to do it God's way, and God won after all. I remember a guy told me, he said when he was a young teenager, he said, I'll never call on Jesus Christ. In a motorcycle wreck and lost both legs. First he got mad at God. Then he realized it wasn't God that gave him the heroin that got him shot up. That he was riding his motorcycle 95 miles an hour in about a 25 mile zone and ran into a car and lost both legs. He said all of a sudden he realized none of that was God's fault. It was his fault. And they told him he might lose his eye. I'll never call on Jesus, he said. But a few years went by, and all of a sudden, when he thought about an eye, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus, don't let me lose my eye. God won, took two legs. Let me tell you, if God could have gotten him easier, he would have done it easier.
Amen.
God already tried for years to get him easier. You know what Jesus said? Better to enter heaven lame with one leg than with two walk straight into hell.
Amen.
Better to go to heaven having only one eye in this life than enter hell with two great ones to see all that you didn't want to see in the first place. Hallelujah. And I love you enough to warn you. And so God scattered them abroad on the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. What do you know? He said, now did you notice that? Did any of you notice that key word city? Some of you thought they were only building a tower. You never really read very carefully. It wasn't just a tower. There was a whole jolly city there. This is a kingdom. And God put the stops on it. Now, therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord there did confound the language of all their... See, you don't have to know Hebrew. I told you that's what it meant in Hebrew, but you didn't have to know that. God tells you. Because God is called Babel, because God confounded their language. It means confusion. A confounded language. Now, I want to talk to you very briefly So we've seen and explained, this is how the cult got going. Here, we started with the flood. All the unsaved were killed. Everyone getting off the ark came from a good family, old Noah's family. But beloved, a simple amount of biblical chronology will reveal to you that it was only 427 years from the flood to the call of Abraham, and that the Tower of Babel was built, from Genesis in chapter 5, in the days of Peleg, which was somewhere around, I'm just going to throw a round number out, about, and it ranges in his lifetime, we don't know when, but let's just say for a round number, somewhere around 200 years after the flood. In other words, I'm amazed at how quickly we forget about sin and God and judgment. Remember the people at Mount Sinai, the Jews? God spoke the Ten Commandments audibly, belched fire from Mount Sinai, and the people were terrified, scared to death. Less than 40 days went by, and they had a sex orgy when Moses was up on the mount and built golden calves and practicing witchcraft and idolatry. But that doesn't surprise me, does it, you, Norman? How many of us don't raise your hand? Remember some sin. Remember some sin. Remember some sin. And you did it. And when you did it, you said, "Oh, God, forgive me. I'll never do that again." Usually after smoking a cigarette at the foot of the bed. You know, we can't do this anymore. You're right. You're absolutely right. And do you know what? You did. You know, it's funny about sin. You know, the curse of Christianity is a short memory. God delivers you. You prayed, "Oh, God, save me. Help me, Lord Jesus." And He does. And 2 weeks later, you forgot. And maybe we forgot that God would help you the next time. You know, we forget all kind of things. We forget and go sin. Or even if it didn't go sin again, we forget, you know what, just 6 months ago, God healed me. I mean, a bunch of people prayed, and God healed me. And now I'm sick again. And the first thing I do rather than pray is run down to the doctor. How about praying first? It'll save you a lot of money if God decides to heal you. And don't worry about Dr. Joe. There's plenty of heathens for him to take care of. You know, if God wants to go around healing all you guys and everything, that's fine. And if He doesn't, that's okay too. Then you've still got Dr. Joe. I want to very quickly just tell you some highlights about Nimrod. Because the Bible has more to say about him. It just doesn't say it in one place. Now, Nimrod died. Now, let me tell you about the cult. The secular writings of the cult say that when Nimrod died, Semiramis was afraid she would lose her position. See, he was king. And she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to control the people and rule. She wanted to rule. Now, Nimrod, as you should have gathered from our study, he was a black. And we have found in archaeology ancient statues of Nimrod. He's got leopard skin on. He's very African. Very flattened nose, the larger nostrils that some of the Africans have. He was very African. Kinky hair. She was a white woman. Now, the Bible doesn't teach against that. That's probably going to make a bunch of you angry, but I just thought I'd tell you that. The Bible doesn't teach against that. That's what your mother taught against and your denomination taught against. All to the glory of God, of course. That's because they won't fess up and face up to the fact that within Adam and Eve was the DNA. And all the Adam and Eve's kids, Genesis chapter 5, verse 4 says they had many children. Honey, they had rain. They was like a rainbow over their house. But once the flood was over and God confounded their languages, people of certain color groups began to get together as they interbred the genetics that were at the inception, began to overburden the gene pool, where if the first two there were black with large nostrils and kinky hair, that those genes began to dominate the gene pool, and with nothing fresh coming into the gene pool, it just stayed there and dominated. Those of us that were Nordic in appearance with those little thin nose, Shirley's got one. Shirley's nose is only pretty. It doesn't function. Her little nostrils are so thin, no air goes up in there. You know what I mean? And so So people tended to mate with people with that fallen nature that was most like them. They trusted them better. But old Nimrod, he was a rebel. Now, Semiramis then invented the story that Nimrod, listen to this, because here's where all of Baal worship begins. It was there at the tower. That Nimrod, as spirit, had become one with the sun. How about that? And that the sun was now, Nimrod had become deified. In his lifetime, he was deified by the people. They worshipped him as a god and her as a goddess. Now that shouldn't shock you. Here in our lifetime, the same thing has happened in Japan. The emperor was worshipped as God. Listen, the Romans were just as intelligent as you. Your IQ is no higher than theirs, and they worshipped the Caesars as gods. Now, so what I'm saying is, intelligent, well-educated people will worship a man as God. The whole world's about to do it very soon. His name is the Antichrist. We don't know his other name yet. Well, I know one of them, the Beast. But I don't know his name yet. I don't plan to ever know it. I plan to be gone before I know it. Okay? But, she said Nimrod had been incarnated in the sun, become one with the sun. Now, she had a problem. She got pregnant, unmarried. And, quote, now listen, I'm going to say this next. I know it's going to sound very blunt, but I'm just trying to get the point. It's a true point. I don't mean this to be hurtful. They had one big trouble in their religion with Nimrod trying to get him deified. People were prejudiced already, and white people just won't worship a black. They had trouble with it. They had trouble. That was one of the difficulties the cult was having. Well, the baby came out white because she had a baby by a white man. And they named him Tammuz, and you can find his name in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 8. Tammuz. His mother was the queen of heaven. His dad was Nimrod. Well, not really. But that's what they claimed. And she claimed, can you believe it? It was an immaculate conception. She had had intercourse with old Nimrod who came to her in the night as a spirit. Why not? Half of you in here believe that kind of garbage. You say, not me, Brother Floyd. I'm uptown. I'm a good Christian. I read the Bible. You do believe it. Half of you in here at least believe that in Genesis chapter 6 that fallen angels had sexual intercourse with women and produced giants. And that is a myth. That's mythology. It is not truth. If it could happen back then, why can't it happen now? And moreover, may I be bold. Any of you girls come in and tell me, Brother Floyd, you won't believe this. See, I'm not married, and the other week I was walking out in the woods all by myself, and can you believe this fallen angel came and I fought like a tiger, but I'm pregnant. No, I won't believe it. Because the Bible teaches angels are sexless beings. Jesus said, in heaven, you'll be like the angels. You don't get given in marriage. There's not one case in the Bible of any angels being born. Angels are all created beings. They do not generate other angels. That is not truth. It is not true interpretation of Scripture. It is Greek and Roman mythology. It is cultic mythology that has invaded the church. And we believe it and teach it in Sunday school. We've been poisoned by the cult. They have foisted their doctrines on us, and we think it's Christian. In other words, the boy was Nimrod reincarnated. Even though Nimrod was one with the sun, Nimrod also had come back now and was this boy, reincarnated. Well, now the bad part about that, if that's true, see, if this is her husband come back, guess what she had to do with that boy when he got a little older? Marry him. It's old Nimrod. See, she didn't think about that. She had to marry the boy because he's her husband reincarnated. You got it? You got it. So now we have incest. And the story gets worse. All the stories you have ever read in Greek and Roman mythology and all the other mythologies around the whole world are stories about those two people from their real life that over the years got it built up, expanded upon, and in other words, Nimrod was a great swimmer. So all the stories about Neptune are just stories that started off about him that were true, that got built, you know, like me. See, I'm a lot better basketball player now than I was when I played basketball. I shot better. You know, when the stories now, you know, oh man, you ought to have seen him. Man, he could go behind his back up through his legs. I couldn't. Do you understand? I mean, I had a good jumper. You know what I mean? But the stories, the oldie, listen, the Gipper was not nearly as good when the Gipper played for Notre Dame as he is today in the legends. You run, as the year, when an athlete dies, the longer it's been since he was alive, he can run faster, throw farther, shoot straighter. Just give him more time for the legend to grow. Well, that's what happened to them. And as time went on, see, all the early stories, he could run fast, Mercury, Hermes. He could, see, because he's got to, y'all, he's God. I mean, nobody can outrun God, right? If this guy's God, we're going to worship him. Who can outrun God? You better not outrun him. You won't outrun him but once. Now, and about her, he was a mighty hunter, the stories of Apollo. Okay, and as time went on, the myths and legends changed where you began to lose touch with the original base of the thing, where it became more than one god. Then it became many gods when they originally were all stories about the same people, and they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. The first little antichrist that tried to rule the world, and God stopped him with languages. Okay. Now, I'll just throw this out for you. When Tammuz got grown, he went out on a boar hunt, and a boar gored him. And he was left by the people thinking he was dead. And of course, you know, the cult doesn't bury you in the ground. They leave you up on the poles. Well, he came too. Back at the ranch, everybody was mourning for their God that had died. But don't worry, he's coming back through reincarnation, they think. And sure enough, 40 days later, he shows up back in town alive. Praise God, it's a miracle. He's been raised from the dead. The resurrection. Now, being Tammuz, you understand that the symbol of Tammuz that he adopted was this. The capital T, the Tau. The counterfeit Messiah. So they began to observe Lent for 40 days. Lent, y'all, Lent has nothing to do with the Bible. You don't find that when Moses went up for 40 days or when Jesus fasted 40 days. This isn't the kind of thing that they were doing. Lent has always been part of the cult, where they gave up things for old Tammuz that had come back from the dead. Oh, they had all kind of things to celebrate his resurrection. They colored eggs as symbols of new life. I mean, here's an egg, and all of a sudden, there comes a life out of it. And so that became one of his symbols. Haven't you ever wondered what Easter eggs have to do with Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus? They don't have anything to do with it. It's the feast of Ishtar. Ishtar. That's another name for the... See? Ishtar is Semiramis' name in Babylonian. See, they said, well, he can't die. He'll live forever. And so they got his symbol that they put on his flag. It was an evergreen tree. In a few moments, it'll finally hit you. Have you ever wondered what a Christmas tree's got to do with Jesus' birth? Did you ever read? I mean, have you read the Bible yet? Have you ever read anything about a Christmas tree being there at Bethlehem? Now, I'm not telling you you can't have a Christmas tree. I'm just telling you it hadn't got anything to do with Jesus. The cult got you. And made you feel so good about it. And in fact, you can read about it in Jeremiah. They tell you in Jeremiah how they did it. So they go out and find a good evergreen tree. I think it's chapter 10. It says, and they cut that rascal down. And then they take some wood and nails and nail it down where it'll stand up. And it says, then they put bright gold and silver on it to make it shine and look pretty. Now, what those represented in the cult were the spirit beings. See, there's the tree. See, the evergreen, it's nothing but a pyramid. It's the pyramid. And all the little lights on it, this is you working your way up through all the little demon angels and everything to get to the top. Hallelujah. I mean, honey, the cult has gotten you. But see, listen to me. See, you just got born one day and you didn't know what was going on, and mama did it and daddy did it, so you did it. Because, I mean, everybody knows mom and dad's a good old boy and girl. Well, that's what happened to mom and dad. They didn't know any better either. See, nobody knows what's going on except the boys at the top of the cult. just a little inner esoteric circle. And so you turn on your lights gorgeously and beautifully and everything. And so we're worshiping exactly. And so then after it dries, see, they leave it like that for a while. And then after a while, when it all dries out and the leaves die off, everything, then they trim it down and make a good idol out of it and stick it right over in the Catholic Church. So you guys can kneel in front of that idol. When God told you in the second commandment, he didn't say, hey, he said, don't even make one. Y'all, you Catholics in here? He told you, do you go back and read in Exodus in chapter 19 and 20 again and read the Ten Commandments and read it for yourself. You'll find out God said, don't even make one, much less bow down. He said, don't even make it. It's hard to bow down to something you hadn't made. Now, I want to tell you Christians that here, they worship this tree. We do too sometimes, don't we? What does Christmas really mean to you? Is Christmas to you what's around the tree, the presents, the possessions? Is that what Christmas is really about to you? Then you're worshiping just like the cult is always worshiped, and there's no difference. Now, you can have a Christmas tree, what I'm saying, and not worship like the cult. But you got to watch, you know, search your heart. What does Christmas really mean? Or are we just, you know, dupes at the bottom of the Triumph Pyramid, don't know any better, and are actually worshiping old Nimrod and Tammuz and what they got started? Now, I could talk to you about Nimrod and Tammuz for the next 3 hours, literally. But you don't need to know that much detail about these characters. They're just the founders of the fact is, they're not even the founders of the cult. They're the ones that made it uptown. Cain started it going by rejecting God's atonement. Cain was the first member of the cult. Okay, Abel was the first member of the church, waiting on the rest of us. First member in heaven. What about the bunch before? Okay, Floyd, okay. I see you got Mystery Babylon going there. You told me about the harlot, whore, religion after the flood. What was it like before the flood? Turn to Matthew chapter 24, beloveds. Let's go back to Adam and see what happened during those first 1656 years. What I'm trying to say is someone carried the cult doctrines across that boat on that ark. They had been poisoned. And it's Ham and his wife. Probably his wife more than Ham, but you know, a good wife like that would really be easy to get for an old rebel like Ham, who did what he knew not to do, walk in and look on his daddy naked and despise him. Look at that old fool lying there, tells me what to do. Look at him, can't even get up. I'm a better man than he ever was. But the other two boys loved their father and did everything they could to cover his sin. They walked in backwards and covered his body. They didn't go around outside telling everybody, yo, go on in and look at the old fool. He's lying there walling around naked, drunk, passed out. See, that's what Ham did. No loving, good son should have ever told anybody about that. He should have been so crushed, so brokenhearted over his daddy's sin that he would have never told anybody and just walked backwards and covered his daddy up and kept his big mouth shut. But the fact that he told anybody says he despised his daddy. Listen to me. You talk about another man's sin to somebody else, and I'll tell you something. You hate that person. You despise them. That's why you gossip. And that boy gossiped to run his daddy down to try and make him look good. To try and elevate himself at someone else's expense. But the other two boys knew what to do. What I'm saying is, Ham is the rebel, and he's married to a rebel. And all the giants came through them. That's where the giant gene came across the flood. Would you read with me verse 37 through 39? Now, we're taught, Jesus is speaking to us here. These are Jesus' words. He is teaching his disciples just shortly before his death, and he's talking about his second return. And here's what he says about the second return. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood... See here, look, up on the blackboard. We're talking about the days before the flood. We're going to find out what it was that the cult was doing that was so bad that God wiped them all out with the flood. See, I want you to understand something. Everyone in the world was in the cult except Noah and his family. They had all, in only 1656 years, rejected the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and the true God and blood atonement. Moreover, I want you to understand that Adam lived 930 years and that Methuselah lived 969 years, and that Methuselah died in the year of the flood, just before the flood. And that Adam and Methuselah's life overlapped each other by more than 200 years. So that everyone only spoke one language before the flood, and the seas were not nearly as big as they are now. That's why when God moved the ocean floors to accommodate all the waters of the flood. Where did all that water go to after that flood? Small oceans, one language. It wouldn't take long to get the word around the world by word of mouth. Adam could have told Methuselah firsthand, Methuselah, now listen to me, boy. I want to tell you what your grandmama Eve and I did that got us all into trouble. Have you noticed it's hard to work? Have you noticed you sweat? Have you noticed your wife, when she had all those kids, it hurt? There was pain in childbirth. I want to tell you how it happened, boy. Now hush and listen. I can just see them out there chopping some cotton. And he told him over and over, so that Methuselah could have told first, only secondhand information right up to the year of the flood, exactly the true story of the fall of man. And that no, we were not evolving into gods, and there's no reincarnation. There's a resurrection. The reason the cult hates the resurrection is Jesus came back as the same Jesus. Amen. In reincarnation, he would have come back as somebody else. The resurrection is a slap in the face at the doctrine of reincarnation. It screams that it's a lie. And the cult hates it. And yet, only 8 people weren't actively part of the cult. And frankly, we don't know about Ham and his wife. If they weren't part of it, at least they were tainted. It didn't take long for their sons and grandsons to go real apostate. So he says, now I'm going to tell you boys, I'm going to tell y'all how it was at the time of the flood. Oh, okay, thank you, Jesus. We want to know what happened before. How did we all get in trouble? What brought judgment? What was Mystery Babylon up to? See, there was, God, in other words, it's Mystery Babylon even before, by doctrine, before there was ever a Babylon and a plain of Shinar. The people were there. So here's what he says. For as in the day, verse 38, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So it will be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. You say, wait a minute, flood. Whoa. That doesn't sound wicked to me. All they were doing was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. What's God so mad about? All right, keep one finger there and turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and you'll see it. This is what God brought world judgment for. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God says, everyone knows that there's a wrath of God. It's been revealed from heaven, and it's against ungodliness and unrighteousness. But there are men who suppress this truth, even though they know it's so. In other words, no, y'all, there'll never be judgment from God. We're all evolving into gods. Through reincarnation, we're just evolving into gods. There's never going to be any worldwide judgment because there's no personal God to do it. There's just the impersonal force, this energy that brought life into the universe. Understand that evolution is nothing more than Baal worship. And you listen to me. You see, the basic doctrine of evolution is part of the old cult teaching. By random chance, the force, this impersonal energy source, brought the right chemicals together, and then, by either electricity or a shockwave or some source of energy from the force, life began, and it had in it chlorophyll. Then Baal, the sun, once that spark was there, suddenly Baal shines down on it and keeps the life going, and all life has come from that, thanks to the Baal, the sun. You know, Baal is just, I mean, Baal's the sun. And all the religions in the Bible that you read about, Chemosh of the Moabites, and Baal of the Phoenicians, all these different names in the Bible of gods that the pagans worshiped, It's just their language, Baal, the sun. It's all the same doctrine. You see, the people, the poor fools at the bottom of the pyramid, they were told to worship the sun. The priesthood, who were the esoteric inner circle that knew what was going on in the cult, they never worshiped the sun. Y'all listen to me. The priests of Baal never worshiped the sun. The inner circle knew that the sun wasn't what they were telling everybody it was. What they worshiped was the power and force and energy that it gave forth. It was part of the God of the universe, the force. They worshiped the energy, the power, never the sun itself. It only represented to them the source of power. But they told the fools to worship it. And then here was the other part of it. You see, all religions, well, part of their doctrine is that you should be like your God. Now, right off, you're in trouble. See, all of you come from church. Y'all, there's Jesus. Just be like Him. Now, look, y'all, let's get blunt. That's God you're talking about. Just be like God. You want to get in trouble? What was it that got Adam and Eve in so much trouble in the garden? It wasn't just eating the fruit, the forbidden fruit. It was so that they could be like God. If you eat it, you'll be wise like God. Wanting to be like God is the most dangerous thing that can ever happen to you if you try to do it by yourself. Hey, any of you that in here that think you can transform yourself into anything like God, the wickedness of your heart is so incredible, I can't comprehend it. You've got to be wicked to be so arrogant and prideful to believe that you mudball, that you can transform yourself into God. Now, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. You know the only thing I've ever, you know, God, if you're a God, you can create out of nothing. You know the only thing I ever created out of nothing? Trouble. Trouble. Now, the idea in the cult, see, is to be like your God. See, that's what we do over to our churches. It's cultic. There's Jesus. Be like Him. Now, surrender to the will of God and let Jesus be Himself in you. He already is God. But for, hey, you, be like Jesus. That's a fairly tall order. That's even worse than trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Be like Jesus. There's only one only begotten Son. There's only one Jesus. We don't need, praise God, y'all, we don't need but one. And He's alive. Now listen to me. In the cult, see, the Son was the life giver. Father, Son, Mother Earth. See, the earth brought was like a woman. Fruit came up from the earth, the fruit of the womb, a baby. So the Son, all the pictures you see in the cult, listen, y'all. You see the sun with his little, you know, all this coming out, these rays of sunlight coming out. That represents in the cult the sperm from the father, from the man, their God. And you'll see it basking on Mother Earth. That's impregnating her. And that's where life came, and it's evolved ever since. And it keeps going. So, be like your God. What does your God do? Well, our God is the life giver. He gives life. Get with it. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. Get with it. That's one reason why these pagan priesthoods, nearly most of them had celibate priests, priests that weren't married. That was so they could generate many children through many women. Of course, some of them got real carried away and did other things to themselves where they couldn't do that, but that's when it really got wild. That's why you find in most of the pagan mysteries, see, remember, each denomination would have its own little differences, right? Some of them had differences, but we're talking about certain things that ran through most of them. They always had the temple prostitutes, and sex was free and easy. Why? To be like their God. Now listen to me. That whole pitch is a perversion of the first commandment ever given in the Bible. What is the first commandment in the Bible? Be fruitful and multiply. It's a perversion of that. See, God meant it through marriage. One man, one woman. Two will become one flesh. That's in Genesis chapter 2. But the cult perverted it. Okay? Now, come back and let's finish here in Romans 1. It says, because what may be known, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them because God has shown it to them. Do you see that? God says, no man is with an excuse. Some of you think, what's going to happen? Oh, has God been fair to the savages in Africa? Has God been fair to the American Indian or to the Aborigine or whatever? These poor people don't know. God says, you're stupid. You don't know anything. How dare you think I wouldn't be fair to everybody in the world? I'm no respecter of persons. I don't love you more than them. You think, you know, I sure am lucky to have been raised in a Christian home and born a Baptist and born Assembly of God, you know, and just raised up. I've got such a great... Listen, no. Frankly, most of you heard that pitch, got bored with it, got tired of the hypocrisy at the church, and got turned off. It's only by the grace of God that you got saved, whether you got raised in a Baptist church or church, Assembly of God or whatever you got raised in. I want you to understand that you didn't have one bit better chance of getting saved than the biggest heathen in India. God says, what may be known of God is manifest in them because God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. They're being understood by the things that are made. He says, everybody understands. Listen, I understood it clearly when I went away to college. I clearly understood what was going on. And then I went away and I became a geologist and paleontologist, evolutionist. And I rejected what God had said. But I clearly understood the issue. It says, even, what do you mean they understand? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now, here's what God is teaching. Anyone that will accept that, and He says nature will teach it to them. He says, if they'll believe it and worship in spirit and truth, God will send them more light. It says, but what did happen was, verse 21, and you can go to Africa, any other place, and find out that this is true. This is what really happens. They know the truth, but here's what they end up doing. Because, and you can go to Haiti and Cuba, where they practice nothing but witchcraft. Puerto Rico. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. I want to tell you one of the greatest sins you and I ever commit against God is ingratitude. Do you see that? He really throws that one out. They weren't even thankful. Listen, I'm a daddy. I'm a parent. The sin that my children committed against me that hurts me the most and the deepest is ingratitude. Now, I've got some I hurt them with, too. You understand? I'm not pointing my finger at my Jennifer. But she said, hey, I did the same thing to my daddy. We all have trouble with ingratitude. All of us. And I want you to see that's one of the big things that God pointed out. They were not thankful. But became futile in their, or vain in their thoughts. That means their thoughts amounted to a zero. In their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, they wouldn't accept the light that God gave them from His creation. So then they begin to make up things in their minds and got darkened instead of, hey, and they're always talking about enlightenment. But their enlightenment is darkness. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Notice it didn't say they were born fools. God gave them common sense. God gave them the senses. And God gave them the universe to look at and say, wow, somebody pretty big and powerful must have put all this stuff out there. And we said, no, it just happened by chance. The force did it by accident. God says, now you've become a fool. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean they became fools, God? Expound on this. What do you mean they became fools? All right, you ask. Verse 23, here's how they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. What kind of image? Images made like corruptible man. We began to worship men. Let me kiss your hand. Let me kiss the ring on your hand. Let me bow before your feet. Listen to me, y'all. Look at me. Look at me. I don't bow to anybody except God Almighty. And I learned that from the Bible. Neither do Jews, y'all. A Jew knows the second commandment. Listen to me. When you practice karate and all that jazz, the first thing those... You know who's teaching you that? A bunch of Baal worshippers from the Orient. The Japanese are the greatest Baal worshippers in modern world. Their flag is the flag of Baal. They're the land of the rising sun. Their religion is the cult. I don't hate them. I want to see them get saved. God loves them as much as He does me. But they're in the cult. And the first thing you do is bow to another little god right there. Listen to me, y'all. I won't bow, but it isn't because I'm proud. It's not because I'm a Texan, Norman. It's because God says, don't bow to him. What are you Catholics doing? What are you Greek Orthodox and Catholics doing bowing? What are you doing bowing to crosses? Listen, Dracula's not afraid of a cross. He's afraid of the guy that died on the cross. Do you hear that? Listen. What is it that killed Dracula in the movies anyway? It was the cross they're holding up. It isn't the cross of Jesus and those things. It's the big capital T for Tammuz. And the thing that finally killed him is the sunlight. Baal. The whole teachings of Dracula, all through that part, that's the guy that wrote that book was part of the cult. And that was his basic Bible beliefs, quote, Bible beliefs, was that the sun would destroy evil. Hey, enlightenment banishes evil. See, you guys, when you don't know about the cult, you read those books, see those movies, and you think, well, isn't that something? But you don't even know what the guy is screaming at you, his religious beliefs. He couldn't scream louder. So images like corrupted man, birds, images of birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore, in other words, they gave up on God. They saw the truth, gave up on it, and started worshiping men and animals. And they still do, all over the world. In Africa, animism and human worship are part of it. The Aztecs, you know why the Aztecs got stomped? It wasn't that the Spaniards were wonderful. It was just judgment from God. They worshiped Chapultepec. And they worshiped Montezuma as gods. And God showed them that their God couldn't save them. They needed a bigger God. They worshiped the sun. It was part of their religion. They were Baal worshipers. Moreover, I want you Catholics in here to understand something. I love you guys. But I want to tell you something. About 80% of what you do at your church is word for word, step for step, what the Baal worshipers did all through their religion. And it's polluted you and you don't even know it. You aren't really worshiping God like the Bible says. Most of them don't know it. You got to get higher up in the cult to find out about that. But the boys at the top in the red robes all know the truth. They know who they worship. They know. And it isn't Jesus Christ. They are all part of the cult. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Aha! See, now look. It's like the days of Noah. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? They were marrying, eating, drinking, giving in marriage. Well, what's so bad about that? I'm going to show you. This is what they were actually doing. Then the prophets warned them that judgment was coming. And all they did, what was their reaction? Let's read what they were doing that was so bad that God's going to flood the world. What is the cult teaching that's going to flood the world? Here it is. Uncleanness, lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. You're going to become gods. You're going to evolve. You shall not surely die. Listen, everything they teach is a direct rejection of what God taught and acceptance of what Satan said in the garden to Eve. Eve, you will not surely die. It'll look like you're going to die, but you're going to come back to life through reincarnation. Now you eat this and partake of this with me in rebellion against God, and it'll make you wise, and you'll become a god yourself. You'll be wise like gods. You are going to become gods. That's what Satan put on them. It's been the basic doctrine of the cult ever since. So that's the lie.
Amen.
And they worshiped and served the creature. Sure, see, that's the lie. The creature is God. The Mormon Church to this day, in their official doctrines, by Brigham Young, said, Adam is God and the only God we will ever have anything to do with. Most Mormons don't even know it. If they did, they'd all get up and walk out. It's still officially the doctrine of the Mormon Church to this day. A man is God. Now there is a God, man, God. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the only one. God did come in the flesh. But we aren't becoming gods. We're being transformed into real men. Adam was a perfect man. And we're being transformed back in, not into gods, but into perfect men. In the image of Jesus, speaking of his humanity, not of his everlasting deity.